Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this swampy Sunday. It's been pretty hot out there for the last couple of weeks. I hope you're all keeping cool and taking care of yourselves and drinking lots of water. I have a few announcements for you this morning. One is Friday the 11th, so not this upcoming Friday, but the following Friday, we're going to have a s'mores night, 7:30 at the fire pit. Bring a camp chair and your favorite camp songs. I've invited the Shaler Police Department and the firefighters from Undercliff and Elfinwild. It should be a really great time. And then that Sunday, the 13th, we're going to have our community worship at Heartwood Acres. That will be at 10 a.m. if you want to come to pregame worship. And there's a little concert that'll start at 9:30. Bring your lawn chair for that, too. Yeah, but worship starts at 10 o'clock. And there will not be worship at Glenshaw Valley that day. For folks with mobility issues, there is parking very close by, so you don't have to go very far. I've also heard that there, if you want to come to worship and the Heartwood just isn't your thing, Elfinwild Presbyterian Church has their 8:30 a.m. service. It's a little early, if you ask me. But so that's that. And then on the 27th of August, we're going to have our church picnic. Potluck, we're going to have the basket raffle, and if you want to donate a basket, please see BJ at some point. She's not here today, but we do have one other announcement. Oh, yeah, Patty. That I have been told that God loves us and that it is not going to rain. That for as long as they've been doing it, God has held the rains at bay. I also asked about a rain date, and they assured me that it would not rain. I'm going to say that if it rains, don't come. God still loves you. I know we do have one more announcement.
This Saturday, a little patch, just the beds around the church and the CE building from 9 to 11-ish. And if you can't make those hours, even if you want to come for just a little bit, feel free. Whatever you can do, every little bit helps. And if you can't make it on that day, feel free to come some other day. Whatever you can.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Bring your own weed, whatever you like to use, your weed, tools, gloves, and hydration.
So there's going to be, oh. God still loves you, yeah. So if you didn't hear that, we're going to have a weeding party on this Saturday at on the 5th, start like 9 to 11, whenever you can come, really. Pick a plot and just sort of weed up. And if you can't come this Saturday, come whenever you want. I won't kick you out. Well, you're going to want to bring some of your own, you know, like gardening tool, your, you know, weeding stuff. And but yeah, we'll have a great time. Any other announcements that I'm missing? Oh, yes, thank you. You will notice back on the back table, we are, Son and I are working on a new directory. We just have like 8 different directories, and they all have different information on them. So we really want to make sure that your information is accurate. So if you go in the back, there are papers there. Find your name. Make sure that the information that is there is correct. and that you let us know the best way to contact you. I have cell phone numbers for some people, but not others. And yeah, just make sure your information is correct and put a little check mark on it. She's got really good instructions on what to do there. And we will have a nice new portable directory for you coming soon. Okay? Thank you, Carol. Anything else that I'm missing? All right. With that, let us place our cell phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings and gather together to proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Blessed be God, whose word gives hope and shapes our dreams, whose love has conquered death. Blessed be God, who orders our way and guides our steps, who leads us into life. Please rise as you are able for our opening hymn, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. The kingdom of heaven is for all of us, but we come to this space full of our own burdens. Let us confess our sins before our triune God. Holy God, we try to keep you close to us, but in the process, we push our neighbors away. We have been distracted in a distancing world, withheld love from each other and from you. Have mercy on us, O God. In your compassion, cleanse and release us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died and Christ who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our congregational anthem, What is the World Like? You did it again, Mickey. read my mind. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. Please pray with me. Jesus invites us into the life he shares with you, Holy God, and so we keep coming. Receive us now in our frailty, our complacency, our desire. We pray for your church all over the world, that we would be seed and yeast where life has grown barren and heavy. May the life we discover in you bind us to each other and to the world you love. For no need is beyond the strength of your call, and no child of yours is expendable. Merciful God, give us wisdom and courage beyond our imagining. We pray for friends and strangers in the grip of addiction. Make us able companions for each other and bless us with hope that bears fruit. We pray for unsettled economies and those whose needs are overlooked in the choices of the powerful. May we, who know so much privilege, bear our responsibilities with open hearts and open hands. We pray for all of those facing hardships, especially Sherry D'Amico and family as they navigate care options for their mom. We pray for Kimberly Norris, who found a big patch of poison ivy this weekend and is feeling pretty miserable. We pray for the woman that Bev's daughter is caring for, who is expecting quintuplets, and it's still pretty early for those babies to be born yet. May all of these people feel your comforting arms surrounding them with healing and love during these anxious times. We pray for all who stand at the thresholds of life, for your children who are soon to be born and your children who are soon to go home. We give thanks for new faces to love, ideas to ponder, work to do, as we marvel at the sturdy friendships and persistent memories that sustain us when the way is hard. May we each be a reminder of your love and your provision. Holy One, keep calling us into the world, your world, as seed and yeast and treasure. Equip each of us for the challenges we will face until we learn to worship in the most unlikely places. For you are the source of our song and the well from which we pray, wherever we are planted. By the power of your Spirit, we pray as Jesus, our Lord, God's only Son, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Take Us As We Are, O God.
Thank you.
be seated. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." Let us offer our gifts of mustard seeds this day, for the kingdom of heaven is near. We dedicate our lives to you this day and seal that promise by way of this offering, God. We give out of the abundance of our hearts that the treasure of your kingdom may be shared with many. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapters 13, 31 through 33, and verses 44 through 52 from the NIV version. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a blazing furnace, when there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" Jesus answered, or asked. "And yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a home who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Eternal God, you have made us in your image. Let our hearts, minds, and spirits be turned to you in this time so that the Holy Spirit may bring us closer to the Word. Amen. So I had a phone conversation with someone earlier this week, and I gotta tell you that phone conversation, even though I didn't know exactly what to say or how to answer, my call, my faith, my vocation in general, my call to this church in particular was really solidified. And you know that this person had some really tough questions about the Bible and differences between Catholics and Protestants and the Trinity. And I don't know if I fully answered any of their questions, and in fact, I'm quite certain that I stumbled over most of them. The Bible isn't exactly crystal clear on a lot of things. And the deep questions that we have about life and God and Jesus, they aren't answered with just a few sentences. Or even a half-hour phone conversation. And that's one of the reasons that we come to church and we read the Bible and we pray throughout our lives. I imagine the disciples in this passage, they're just sort of sitting around. It's like a free day, and they're just sort of carefree, resting, sort of lounging on the hillside, looking up at the clouds, trying to find what shapes they can find. They're like, "That one's a blender." I'm just kidding, they didn't know what blenders were. One of them just sort of, like, while they're sort of daydreaming and, you know, thinking about, one of them, I imagine, says, I wonder what the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's a tough question. Jesus would think for a minute while staring at the clouds. He's trying to come up with a really clear way to describe the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is simultaneously like nothing they or we have ever experienced. Yet it is also, at the same time, something that they and we encounter every minute of every day. So Jesus starts telling them a series of parables. And at the end, Jesus asks the disciples if they've understood, and they answer yes. And I wonder how much of what Jesus said was actually fully grasped by the disciples. Like, of course, these similes probably made much more sense to first century Palestinians than they do to 21st century Americans. But I still imagine the disciples' yes being more like, "Uh-huh, okay, sure, clear as mud, Jesus, thanks." Likely the person that I talked to earlier this week had the same reaction after we both hung up the phone. Jesus included 6 parables in this passage. Now, I have only included 5 of them on this slide, and the last one, first of all, the last one is sort of hard to recognize as a parable, but also, I ran out of space. You might be wondering why Jesus spent so much time and gave so many examples for just this one concept. Well, and it's an important concept. It's an important part of our faith and the primary reason Jesus came to be with us. But it's also a really complicated idea. And none of these parables on their own really describes what the kingdom of heaven is like. We need all of them together. So the kingdom of heaven is caught up in both our ordinary everyday lives, and it's also completely beyond all of our understanding. Anything we could absolutely think of. So Jesus uses these multiple connections that he thinks that maybe the disciples might begin to sort of grasp a little bit. And as this bridge between the finite and the infinite is built through these parables, we're given new perspectives from which we might view our lives. So Jesus starts out describing a mustard seed. I know, seeds, again, for the third week in a row. I get it. Jesus was talking to people living in an agrarian society. They were obsessed with seeds. I'm not sure how many of you know much about mustard seeds and bushes. The seed is smaller than the head of a pin. It weighs virtually nothing. But the bush grows about 2 to 6 feet. And then there are other instances where that bush can actually grow like 8 to 10 feet. And so it's at that point, it's less of a bush and more of a tree. And these bushes, they're just unruly. They were considered a weed that took up valuable crop space. And as Presbyterians, we like and expect order. Like a farmer's field. They're planted in these neat little lines, and we know where everything is. It's marked perfectly. Well, I have some bad news about the kingdom of heaven. Like the mustard seed, it sneaks in and it takes over. And once it does, it then nurtures and provides shelter to God's creatures. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven, it's unpredictable. It invades the ordinary. And then Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman mixed into flour. Again, yeast, a tiny, small, a speck. Inconspicuous. And in Jesus' time, yeast or leaven, it took an exact science to do correctly. So there was a portion of leftover bread that was like set aside and let to spoil. Now, if it wasn't spoiled enough, it was worthless. And it wouldn't cause new dough to rise. But if it was left too long, it could ruin the bread and even cause food poisoning. You can imagine that people were a little hesitant when it came to yeast. But that little bit of yeast, it was worked into 60 pounds of flour. Can you even imagine what 60 pounds of flour looks like? Can you imagine kneading that much dough? Her arms must have been solid. And with that much flour, with that amount of flour, that woman must have been preparing for like an extravagant feast. Like that's enough flour to create like 100 to 150 loaves of bread. The yeast that the woman bakes with does this miraculous work silently. It transforms the flour into this nourishing, sustaining food. The kingdom of heaven is in the everyday, ordinary, and sometimes undesirable stuff of life. The kingdom of heaven is stealthy. It's subversive. Jesus continues, and he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a great treasure. In these two parables, one man just sort of stumbles across the treasure while he's plowing a field, and another man is intentionally searching, going everywhere imaginable. He knows exactly what he's looking for, and yet he's still surprised when he finds it. Both instances, these people seeking treasure, they sell everything they have in order to obtain that treasure. The kingdom of heaven, whether we're seeking for it or not, it brings about this reversal of values. It disrupts our normal daily life with this promise of a new way of life. The treasure is of such supreme value that it's worth doing new, risky, costly, but still joyful things to possess it. The kingdom of heaven it's of unsurpassable value. And some of us are just going to sort of stumble upon it. And others of us are just going to go through great lengths to find it. And either way, once we find it, we'll do unreasonable things to hold on to it. Jesus then moves on to compare the kingdom of heaven to fishing. Another, normal activity that would often be happening. But the kind of fishing that Jesus was referring to was with a dragnet. And these are, they're fishing nets. They're about 6 feet deep and like hundreds of feet wide. And obviously it takes several men to operate this. And they either take this net and they like drag it behind the boat, or they drag it in between two boats and they just sort of scoop up as many fish as they can. And it gathers everything in its path. No discrimination. It just gathers everything. Just like Jesus gathered in a wide variety of people. Jesus gathered in sinners, tax collectors, Roman centurion, people with leprosy and diseases, Gentile women, the demon-possessed, children, Pharisees. Jesus even gathers in the disciple who betrayed him. The net brings in all sorts. Much like the parable of the weeds from last week, there's a sorting party on the shore, and the promise of the kingdom is a widely cast net, but the decision as to which of the catch was good and which is bad, again, it's not for us to decide. It's none of our business. We don't get to decide what are the good fish and what are the bad fish here and now. We've already seen that the kingdom of heaven is counter to all of our earthly ways and all of our understanding. God's going to take care of it. God will take care of the sorting in God's time. Jesus closes this section of parables by telling the disciples that now that they have the secrets of the kingdom, they are the teachers and the masters of the household. And as wise teachers, they will recognize the value to be found in the old and the new. In the Jewish scriptures and the gospels, they all have much to teach us. But the kingdom of heaven isn't static. God is always working, always revealing the kingdom of heaven in shocking and surprising ways to new people like you and me. Through Jesus, a process has begun by the Holy Spirit that will achieve God's purposes. Gradually. We may not be able to see the fullness of God's reign right now, but it is growing in our midst. And all of these parables together serve to remind me that God uses small actions in ordinary people to make really big impacts in the world. And those are the things that show me that the kingdom of heaven is present here on earth. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Before we go back into the world to experience the kingdom of heaven here on earth, let me offer you a blessing. Go as seed and yeast, willing to lose your life in the larger purposes of God. Go as fisher folk and treasure seekers, pouring out your days in search of hidden grace. May God, who searches the heart, Jesus, whose love overcomes all division, and the Spirit which helps us in our weaknesses, continue to lead you into life that you may serve with abandon and joy. Amen.